Jeremiah chapter 19. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heaven, and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate, and a hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished, and hiss, because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons, and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege, and straitness wherein their enemies, and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words.
Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we thank you that you remain truthful continuously, and there's no lying, no cheating, no deceit found in the house of God. And Lord, you represent that by your wonderful character, that glorious example that we as your people should take as our model, that you have lived it. And we desire, because you are our Heavenly Father, and Father, for those who do not sense this and have lived foolishly, Father, I believe, and what I see is you showing me that this chapter in Jeremiah that was just read is part of them. Your word is runs parallel. It may be said for the Old Testament, it's all parallels all the time, continually. It is our model, role model too. This is what's going to happen. And Father, we know it is happening. And Father, we just pray for a mighty conclusion for your ministry this night upon this place. And Father God, for those out there in the world today that are hearing this, out there, friends, neighbors, loved ones, whoever chooses in to hear this word, God is in your life in a very awesome way. And he wants to direct you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to lift you up in heavenly places. But I know the enemy is coming against anyone that wants to serve God. But remember, friend, Christian, backslider, God loves you. For those who lift up their name, God is faithful. He's calling forth those who are backslidden, as Israel backslid time and time again. But God sent his own son, Jesus, through his blood, that John is God has moved upon the Gentiles. You have time, beloved. You have time to change. But I believe we're very close to that time when God is going to come and he's going to change the hands. It's going to go from the back in the way of Israel. And the day of the Gentile is going to close. And for that night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us there put on the whole armor of light. And we need that wonderful armor of light wherever you live. You know, that were you that out there right now that you're living with a person, you're not sanctified by marriage. You know, this is wrong in the sight of God. You need to change this. You have the time for those other things that we're men and women are going through those who are living with the same sex. You know, God does, it don't make any difference what people say in the Word of God. It declares that he is not for those kind of situations. And God can deliver you and he can set you free that you could be a moral good person above reproach. Out there, there's people that you're living not in the confines of God's Spirit. And God's been speaking to your heart and you see this. But I'm here tonight to verify that God wants to reassemble your life. He wants to remodel you. And that you not be as this chapter in Jeremiah, that you find yourself having the wrath of God upon you. For that day that you can't change it. There's a day coming when no man shall be able to change his walk. Nobody will be able to change his talk. Everything that you have recorded is going to live on to that day that you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And we stand before God in that day and that book of life shall be opened. And everything that we have done, every deed we have seen, it's going to be opened on us. And we cannot deny the great I Am. And you out there, wherever you are in this world today, you need to confess God is righteous to forgive you and to help you and to cleanse you and to process you for his glory, that you might take on his righteousness, that you would no longer be scorned by your thoughts, your own inner thoughts, and no one even knows this but yourself, but it's tearing you apart, and you need to seek God and come out from among them, be separate, and God will move upon you in a mighty way. We pray that God will give you that boldness, that strength to do this. Father, we just pray for this message today. We pray that this message would speak what has been prayer, the prayer that's been written and read of this word. And Father, we thank you for your power. Give us that courage to be able to stand for the truth. Father God, you showing me that's what's wrong. Most of your people won't stand up and tell people it's wrong. But we've got to identify for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know the time. Now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. You're coming soon. The night is far spent. A day is at hand. Let us as recipients put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to walk cautiously in these last hours, because you are our Savior. And we all need God to help us. Because if we find ourselves naked, the enemy can come against us, and God can't help us. And many, many out here tonight, you find yourself naked. You're out there, and you're the devil. You have not power to come against him. But I'll tell you, if you have God with you, you don't have to be concerned about those wrongdoings, because you're more than conquerors through him which loves. There's so much pluses for God and so much minuses for the enemy. You need to choose God. He is the absolute truth. He is your faith. He is your absolute personality that you need. Father, we just pray for a mighty blessing upon your beloved this day. We pray that they will understand that Brother Freedom loves them and God loves them. And all these people here that assembled right here today, we love you. And we pray that God's blessing upon you in a mighty way. Father, we just pray for this word today that you'll have the blessing of God upon it. Father, I pray for the anointing today to come down in a very mighty way. And we thank you in the name of our Savior and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I really believe that we're living in perilous times. And Jesus, as he was getting the end of his ministry in the 14th chapter of St. John, he goes down the first verse, let not your heart be troubled. He let it be afraid. And then it goes over in Timothy, it says, God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. You know, if we don't have God in the fullness, our hearts are going to be troubled. We're going to be afraid. It's just natural, because this is God's temple. And if we don't have God's temple, then These things come in light to us, and we know that we're not really stepping where we should be. We know that we're stepping out of order. You know, when infantry, when they say up, two, three, four, it means that every foot speaks to the drummer, to the leadership. And we need to realize that we have to keep time with our Savior. He is our leader. He is our waymaker. And when they say a right flank, left flank, whatever the command is, you walk and march and do that the same way in life. And that's why we need the intercession of the Spirit of God to help us to be mandatory. It doesn't take us 2 weeks to make the decision to turn, because everybody else is all gone. But if you wait 2 weeks, everybody's gone, and you might be here in the States, and everybody else went to Korea or wherever because you missed it. And that's what happened today. Many of us hesitate, and we miss it. We miss it because we're not where we should be. And something that keeps us close to God is seeking God. And God bless you. God wants to reestates you in a very special way. From the 14th chapter of St. John, I'm going to read this. I believe I know it by heart, but I believe that we don't want to miss this wonderful word. It's verily, verily, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what does that mean? It means the works of Jesus. Jesus says, I will not leave you comforted. I will give you my word, and greater works shall you do than I do, because I go to the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it unto you, that you might be glorified through the Son of Jesus. Says, I go to the Father, and whosoever shall ask anything in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. God's given the commandment through Jesus Christ that if we can come believing in faith, that whatsoever we ask in that day, and you live a righteous life, and without sin to some degree, God's going to answer you. And this is beyond. If you have your sins and being able to hear God from heaven and favor you, that's a mighty blessing. But what takes place when you live in unrighteousness is this cannot be completed. It's there, but you can't have it. It's there, you might claim it, but you can't have it until you fulfill the obligation that God wants you. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. So we have to do a little performance. We got to forsake others and take the will of God. We have to forsake our old life, our old lifestyle that was sin and degradation. But when we become saved, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. So when we become a new creation, we have received adoption from God, for our Heavenly Father, the glory of God shall rest upon us, and we're no longer exposed in darkness, but we're walking this heavenly sunshine. We're walking delivered from this world, and we're walking the process becoming from there on to enter in heaven very shortly. And life is very short. So what I'm saying, shortly, there's a time to grow in the Lord. And God said, this day we must seek God. We must call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake His way, and let unrighteous man live, and return to our God, and He will abundantly pardon. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, or so His ways are higher than our thoughts. We don't come in this immediately. We grow in the Lord. We start forsaking all the hindrances, start falling off us, and if we let go, in the 15th chapter of St. John, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and He burneth, that it beareth not, purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We, God's people, don't want anyone to say nothing to us. We want to say we're saved, and we don't want to take the scrutiny of the Holy Ghost for the Word of God, because that will what will set us free. We can go to all meetings, we can do everything, and pay our alms and our tithes and everything, and we don't have the heart of God, we're not where we should be. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. So when God comes down and cleanses our mind, our heart automatically gets clean. We get washed by the Master's hand. We get set free. We receive pardon. And it feels so good when you feel clean, when you're absent that old heavy obligation. Heavy. The weight of sin is so heavy, it pulls us down. It takes us that we have no energy because it's drawing force. It's like something that draws from you. It takes from you that you have no power. As long as the enemy has you there, he's got a condition. You're not a winner. You know, whoever wins the battle is the winner. And at that time, you're not the winner. You're receiving heartaches of troubles. You're receiving landfills of hideous problems. And the best way is go God's way. Casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Jesus said that. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the light. So what we have to do, make it simple, is come and take our heavy burdens and give them to Jesus. He will take that. In this, you will receive a new strength. You'll receive a new purpose. You will receive a new way. He that believeth on me, the works shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. Much you ask him, you will be able to ask the Father in his name, and God will glorify you. You will have actually Christ living in you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus said, I must ascend to the Father. And he's up there making intercession for you. But he says, when I leave, I will send the Comforter. And when the Comforter's come, he will reprove the world of sin. And he will lift the name of Jesus. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that what I do it, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. God wants to be glorified in Jesus. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, he will do it. That's a positive declaration. It's not something you got to guess about, think about, or wonder about. God said he will do it. And we must act in it by faith. God expects us to act in faith, believing we are rewarded to those that diligently seek him. And if we have not that faith, it disturbs God. God says, casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He wants us to reply, I'm tired of my heavy obligation, Lord. I want you to take my body. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to set me apart. And I might be a new creation in Christ Jesus, that I might take the overflow from heaven in my heart. And I'll be desirous to do thy will, O Lord, that I would create with thee the right heart, a pure honesty in my heart. Being honest, that I might be pure. That mine would live in holiness. And God is trying to bring us out of unholiness into holiness. That we would no longer walk in despair, but we would walk in repair. That we might know him as our Savior, as our guide. And that is said, if you love me, ye will keep my commandments. This is really a process of time. You know, we start and we walk. The Bible says we put on his righteousness, but we start growing. If we're truthful in our heart, and God really wants us to have that supernatural belief that he will make us after his image, after his pardon, after his correction. And it says, then I will pray the Father. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall send the Comforter, that he might abide with you forever. Not for a day. This is the word of God. It's the 14th chapter of St. John. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world can't receive the Spirit of God. He didn't know of him, but ye shall know him, the believer shall know him, and ye shall know him, and he shall be with you, and shall be in you. Remember that, you just don't know him, he will be with you and in you, but he will be in us. Yes. Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost lives within us. He resides within us, and that's what we need to speak with his authority. And we can do that as we reprocess our life, and what's wrong with some people, why they can't walk in the Spirit, because they don't want to do something they don't know. And so, you know, I see so many people, they are good, they're believers, but yet they're not willing to put God and say, I'll trust you. But I'll tell you, before you go very far, you've got to trust God. You've got to be, it's like being weaned. There comes a time when you got to take food. And this is a time when you wean yourself away and you no longer take it in the milk and you take food. You take heavenly knowledge. You take a blessing from God. You're filled, thrilled by the Spirit of God, that God would move upon you in a mighty way, that you would disturb principalities and powers. Without that anointing, you can't come against principalities and powers. Bible says, be strong in the Lord and powers might put you on the whole armor of God. But we don't have any armor unless we have it. We don't have any defense. We're shameful. God can't even look at us. He cannot look upon sin. So we punish ourselves because we cannot receive that engrafted seed of God. We punish ourselves and we cry, Abba, Father, and God doesn't hear us because we're still hanging on. See, God has given us Jesus. And when we receive Jesus, he is the one that paid in full that we might receive redemption through him being on the cross. The cross of Calvary, the cross will set you free because it's what Jesus did on the cross. He set captivity free. He broke the powers of darkness that you might have power that greater is he that's within you. He that's in the world. And the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's left us, but he is in the carpenter business right now. He's up there in the sky preparing us for Betty. That's left a heavenly home for us as we turn. He's preparing for us eternal place. A place that we can rest. You know, you really can't rest here upon earth. You never know. We're in that section of time, but we don't know. That second time when we come, many people, you go to the cemetery and you see kids 9 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, all different ages. But God says He ordains it all. But the Bible plainly says in Hebrews, let every man know that every man is appointed and woman wants to die, and every child, whatever God says, then comes the judgment. So we're all, while we're here, is that slot of time that God wants us to encourage ourselves in Him. That we won't have these bondages, these dastardly things that come against us. We can't live victorious. You know, we can't live victorious if we're living out here shacked up with someone, unmarried. All these things are against God's rules. And if we just take it down to common sense, it's not right. God sees it as honesty. You get in trouble, and then you have age, and you got all these wicked things that come along with it. And they're a colossal enemy of us as God's people, because our bodies cannot handle the reward that we receive when the enemy deceives us. And here tonight, God wants to set you free. The enemy had you in bondage out in the land. And God wants to set you free by His wonderful power, that you might receive that adoption, that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you from now to the time that you hit heaven's shore, and you will have that authority. I am God's child, and I will never leave Him no longer. I have failed Him once or twice, many times, but from this day on, I'm going to serve Him till I go to heaven's shore, because we know that His day is very close. And you need to take time to seek Him to save. The Bible says we need to seek Him while we be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let unrighteous man his thought, and let him return to God. To our God will He abundantly pardon. God will serve. While He will pardon you. He will set you free. He is faithful. He loves you. He's kindness. All these wonderful attributes is in God. But you're not going to find them in yourself. You're not going to find them in a church that don't preach much. You're going to be disturbed. You're going to be discouraged. Jesus said there's going to be a great deception on His land. The 24th chapter of Matthew, you read it. Do me not deceive, because there's going to be a great deception on this planet Earth before His coming. And that's why He predicted many will be called, but fewer be chosen. What it mean? It means that people in their own minds would think I'm saved. In their own minds, they would have a form of godliness. But the Bible says God will not look at that way. He sees the fruits of unholy living. And He will not be partakers with anything that's not holy. See, God didn't establish anything that's not holy. He established everything that's real. What's happened is our churches have failed to preach the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You need to be on fire from the very crown of your head, the very soul of your feet, that you might have the heaven, the salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You might have that anointed power, an availing love that never will leave you. God loves you. God wants to touch you. But if you ever seen people die, which I have, it's an agony to see people die when you know they're going to a devil's hell. When you see them have drunk and stayed just a day or so ago, and then you see them get a book and they're gone, and you know that they're not made it right with God. God is disturbed. God is loving. And we need to model ourselves after what God. This book is wonderful. This book will bring pardon. This book will bring revelation. It will bring you knowledge. It will bring healing to your body. And you'll have a joy of the Lord in your strength. They'll bring a colossal blessing upon you, that you'll not be disturbed or lower, but you will walk in victory. I feel the anointing of God here in a mighty way. America, you need to wake up, because He's coming very soon. This year is going to be a year of heartaches, and God has the answer out there, sir, woman, boy, or girl. You might think you got everything in control, but I'll tell you, one little slip, you realize that you haven't got it under control. You lose your breath for 1 minute. See what happens to you. You find yourself on a gurney. You see you're fine. And maybe in the hospital. And you have no hope. I'm here today that God is the hope. He's the eternal blessing. And God wants to disturb the one that has you captive. He will set you free. Whom the Son of God has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. God is here to capitalize on the faults of the enemy. Because God cannot do any better what He has for you, because God is perfect. But the things that we do, endeavor we do for Himself, is very easy for God to redo that, because it's evil. God works against evil. And when He works on your behalf, all you say, Lord, I'm yours. And God says, I'm here to respond. But the problem is people won't say this, and they're not responding. They're not responding. They're making excuses. Oh, you know, they make all kinds of terrible excuses. They say, well, my church says it's okay, but their church is lying, sir, madam, whoever you are. This word does not lie. This word never brings a penalty. But when you face God at that day, and they'll say, have not we done many wonderful works in thy name? He says, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. We need to realize that God means business, serving him. And that's why many people love to go to a foolish church, because there's no obligation that you have to keep. There, you can just live like you got, and they believe that the pastor can pray them through at the last day, and you've gone your way to heaven. I'm guaranteeing you, it does not work that way. My boss tells me it doesn't that way, and his name is God the Father, God the Son, and if you want to get sent, you take it up with him, sir, woman, whoever you are. God is not confused, but we are confused. God is not slack concerning his promise, but God is here to bring deliverance. We have never heard. We're sitting back, and very last we find ourselves at fault because we don't take heed to things that we've let them slip. That's what the Word of God says. You know, there's been things that have troubled me, but today God is setting me free too. Hallelujah! The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it knows him not, neither knoweth him, but ye shall know him. But we can know him. That's a positive declaration. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jeremiah 3:3:3, it says, call on me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that knoweth not. He's there to bring help. You know, when you go to a hospital, if you haven't got the answer, and that doctor says, we do this, you may live. It brings joy to your ear because you've got it in your heart that you might live. But you take a little step farther. What if it's God? God saying, church, you need to live. Because the Bible says that he wants us alive unto God, but dead unto sin. That he wants a church alive, that we're alive now, and we forsake unrighteousness. You know, God is coming for a cleansing of his people, a people without sin. And they are not a reproach. God understands when we fail him, but we need to grow toward him. We need to grow because you love him. Bible says in that verse, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We say we love him, but we're doing the same old things. You know, I love that sin. I just can't leave that. It's my pet. You know, years ago, God gave me a dream. And in that dream, I see this church setting. And I was at one of this, and I'm going to speak it today because God said it's for this time. And I remember I went to this church service, and that's what the churches have got into, is a lot of clubs, and they get it down, and they was having this shindig in the back, and then all these tables were on, beautiful food, everything was all out there, and all the people were sitting there, and this great big blue snake come up there, and he crawled right through us, slivered right through and come up to me and says, who do you think you are? And I said, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You know, that old snake just blew up. You know those people? They come to me, Brother Freedom, you took away our pet. Many people believe they're Christians, but they got sinful pets. They got a little bit of knowledge, but they got a little bit of wrong stuff. And God won't compromise, sir, woman, whoever you are. God says, come up from among them, be separate, said the Lord, and pets not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A lot of difference. I go to these places and they don't say nothing. They say, well, all these blessings are for you, but there's limitations on the blessing. And people are getting disturbed. Hear me. If the church world don't straighten up, that very soon, the church world is going to be in big trouble, and the enemy is going to hunt you down because you're lukewarm. God cannot help you because you ruled yourself out of God's hand, and the enemy hates God, and you have the name that you're God's child, and he will go against you. He will prove himself that you're nothing, and you can come against him in the name of Jesus, and you're not getting anywhere. He will overtake you. He will take you down and bring you lower. He will live with him forever. What a disgusting thought. We need the church choices right now. I'm going to serve God all the way. I'm going to be his child. I don't care what no one thinks about me, what they're going to say about me, but I know Jesus. I know my God, and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You know what God told me today? You know, people, why they said Holy Spirit? Because there's a lukewarmness of the Holy Ghost. You know, it just sounds better than say Holy Spirit. He's a whip. I'll guarantee he's not a whip. He's powerful. He's God himself. He's God. Don't you come against the Holy Ghost. He is righteous, and that's a sin that you can't get forgiveness. Sir, wherever you are, do not come no longer in your church when God wants to move. Don't block it. You're in trouble. Churches, you're in trouble when you come against the blockage of God's ones. He moves through the Spirit. And you might think that you're the chief priest in your place, but I'll guarantee you if you're out of step with God, God will bring you down. Righteous is an exalted nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. And in America tonight, sin is a reproach. Sin is not received with gladness. It's a way that pulls God's people down to a realm that they cannot be reached and cry out, they're sunk. God showed me yesterday, like in quicksand in Texas, I've seen quicksand down there. And that quicksand, you're going to get caught down in that, and you're going to keep falling down until you hit the bottom of it. And I say, sir, here today, and wherever you are, that comes down to your head can no longer breathe. And you're totally immersed in filth. And many this day, I see you out there in this world. You're in sin today. If you'll cry out to God this day, God will set you free. Call upon Him. He will answer thee. And He'll show you great and mighty things you do not. Now, you know, we have so many soothsayers in this land that they predict many things. And yet they're orphans to God. They're not God's children. They sort of sidelined. They've once known God. But the Bible tells me, woe unto the man who has once claimed and loses that first estate. God said he's married to backsliders. He's married to them, but yet he doesn't work through them. Yet God will forgive you. But if you stay in that state, you're going to suffer persecution because you're going to feel the warmth of the enemy. And you'll cry out through your pastor or all the things that you might know of, but yet your sin has brought you to that place that God cannot listen. God has a way to keep you. God has a way to prepare you. But we go against God time and time again. God says, I do not know you. In Proverbs, the first chapter, He says, and this is America, He will laugh at you when your calamity cometh. So America, you need to wake up. You need to realize you probably will not like me, but you need to be set free this night. You need to have the power of God upon you. You need to have that atoning blood that God before you. And we need to realize that the cross, Paul said, I must preach the cross of salvation. It's the power of God. It is the cross that saves us. And we don't have that cross. We're never saved. That's why there's so many infants in America. They have never really truly been saved. They didn't realize that the cross meant something. It meant that God's Son was going to take all the sin upon His shoulders. And not my sins and my... It means if we don't know that, yes, you're not really saved. You need that power of God. You need that special that God saved me through the shedding blood of His special Son. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish. Many, I see you up there in your five, and many up there. You know, God wants to bless you up in heavenly places. God works in the scenes that He's not seen. But the Bible says His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf whose heart is made perfect toward Him. And that's our trouble. Our hearts are not made perfect to God. If you will walk with God and call, be honest with God, be honest and say that, Lord, I need you. He'll save you right where you are. He'll set you free and you can start walking. And we want to pray for you if you need help. If you need help, call in and pray. God will help you. You don't need to be on this new event. If God should come today and you miss out, for out there today, if you miss God's calling, and I believe He can come today, I don't know what He's, but the Bible says to be prepared. And America is not prepared. America has lost her way. For I've seen many, 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 and they're not even true to salvation. I've had to back up a lot of steps. God told me that people weren't even saved. They thought they were saved, but they weren't even saved. So we don't need to blame Jesus. You need that first love, that first time that you need to get saved this day and invite Jesus into your heart. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will give you that new commitment, that new anointing. He will strengthen you that you might grow in His Spirit, that you might someday receive the baptism of the Spirit of God to help you, that we're more than conquerors through Him which loves. We need the aid of God. Whatever He has for us, we need it. But when we deliberately come against Him, God sees no way but to go around us. And when we're sidelined, we're just there. We're wounded. And I'll tell you, God's people are crippled. They're crippled in no faith. They're crippled in letting things bother them. No rest, no peace. These are crippling agencies that God does not want them to be no longer. He doesn't want them to be in your life. They are things that God wants to take away from you that you might be set free. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves. I am persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall I be able. We need to keep that up. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing and keep me from the hand of God. There's nothing that I can live without Him. I don't want to live without Him. And surely He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is the great I Am. His eyes are continually upon the righteous. His ears are open to the cries, but He is against those that do evil. That's in 1 Peter. I think it is in Peter anyway. He's against those that do evil, but He hears the cries of His people. He sees the afflictions. He's seen the afflictions of the children of Israel when they was in Egypt. God sees us in bondage as pertains to Egypt. And tonight there's many in this country. Your bondage of Egypt. Your bondage is sin. You've got some habit, something that's bringing you down. That's between you and God. You don't put God first. Jesus said, seek ye first His kingdom. Here to serve tonight, wherever you are, we must put Him first. God made that very truthful at the very time of Jesus, 6th chapter of Matthew, to seek ye first His kingdom. And then all these things should be added unto you. Lord, I just pray for each people here tonight. I love you out there, but I want to realize that you need to really have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be exposed of that darkness has you subdued in the way in this world that you might be set free and not nothing bondage upon you no longer, that you might live in His likeness. And I would be above the approach of this world. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. My cup runneth over. Surely and goodness for mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God has what's good for us. But the enemy has the opposite. He has what's bad for us. And he will make us think that old thing is hateful. You can't do without it. But I'll tell you, we need to try to get rid of it. It's taking it down. It'll bring heartache to you. It'll bring you to a place you cannot sleep. You cannot cope with what you're facing. And there's no friend like Jesus. Even though Jesus said in the right hand of God, He will make intercession with you groaning. If you'll call upon Him, Jesus will answer you. He is making intercession to our Heavenly Father for you. And the Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Ghost is here to enable you to support you, that you might walk in victory, that you would walk no longer wanting, but you walk in prosperity of God. We need to be prosperous in the things of God. We don't need to be so prosperous in the cares of this world, but we need to be rich in Him. We need to be rich in Christ and all the things that pertain, because of what we have. We're like the time. The Bible says we're like the air. We're just saved, then we're gone. We're like that breath of air. We're here for a second. And what it determines why you're here, that God's going to judge you on. Wherever you are, woman, man, if you're living out there, many, many, many this night, or you're living together, not married, this is wrong before the eyes of God. I don't care what people have told you, but sir, woman, it's wrong. I don't care if you got children. God wants you to be above reproach, to grow, that they might grow in the nature and admonition of the Lord yourself. You have a responsibility to teach them right. And the old man or woman, if you're doing wrong yourself, you know your children are going to tend to grow up like they see before them. We have a responsibility, America, to shun the very appearance of evil, that we might walk in holiness. Being delivered. God is here with His mercy. God is here with His constant rain that He loves you. He has a strength here. And out there that you remember, if you want someone to love you, just call. You call on the internet. And I'll guarantee you there'll be people praying for you. There'll be ones that love you. There'll be one that thinks about you. And God will love you just doing it. If you will just do that, He will already save you before you even get there. But that you just taking that action will get you saved, because you're making some effort to seek God. God wants us to take effort in seeking Him. He doesn't want to stay in that old realm no longer. He wants to set us free. We can sit in that garbage can from now on. You might sit in church, sit in the back row, front row, wherever you are, and do whatever you think is unholy. But I tell you, there's no covering of sin. We can camouflage it all you will and what you want. But if God does not see ourselves as camouflaged from sin, He sees our heart. He knows what's within us. We can put all the best clothes upon us and all the best suits. And I'll tell you, God sees our inner heart. Oh, I love you out there, and I praise you, Lord. I thank you for a mighty blessing upon these people. And I pray that you'd comfort them this night. I pray that you'd move upon them. But you're the answer, and the Holy Ghost is the answer. His presence is real, and you will fortify your beloved this night. Move upon them in a mighty way. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for the endeavor from heaven. For I feel that you're coming very soon. The church needs to be aroused. The church must be ready because Jesus Christ is coming. America, wake up! Wake up! Because he's coming. Do you want to live here when Jesus takes us home? If you found here and lived all your life for the Lord and you find yourself lukewarm this night, I guarantee you, you may not make it, because the Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction, and live at the end of that, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Sir, whoever you are, remember these words, that narrow is the way. It's a straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. And I know this, anyone can't go there. God wants us to have some stamina in our heart, that we're going to conduct ourselves holy while we're here, that because we have a challenge with life itself, that I have taken choices every day, that I'm going to follow my God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to live by his spirit, that I might be lived in his heavenly blessing, that I would be in his framework from heaven, that I would feel the cool as he come down instead of Adam and Eve, and I would, in the afternoon, I would feel that coolness and his heart come in my heart. He says, well done, my son. I love you. What a blessing. God wants us to grow, and he gives us time to grow. As long as we're growing, if you went up into eternity, I believe that God would keep you. But he expects us to keep growing toward him. As long as we're pulling toward God, he sees us as an overcomer. That means we're an overcomer. As long as we're climbing, we're an overcomer. You don't have to worry about it. You're an overcomer. But when you get to say, well, I'm just going to slack off, then you're slowful, and then you begin not just lukewarm, you get cold. So let's not be cold or lukewarm, but let's be overcomers. Let's be hot for God. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for a mighty blessing here tonight. I pray that you touch every heart in a very special way, in a very mighty way. And I pray, God the Father, God the Son, that you will speak the hearts of your people in a mighty way. If there's any here tonight that they have touched this, I pray that you move upon them, that they might receive Jesus Christ this night. Father God, we just pray that you, for those that need Christ this night, I pray that they'll call upon you and they will ask forgiveness. You can call on God and he will answer you and he will forgive you. He will set you free. Father God, I pray for a mighty blessing. There may not be anybody in my realm that called here that this message went to, but I know there's some this message fits. For those it fits, if you don't know it, pray for those who are found wanting. If you're a sir out there, you're doing great. Well, pray for these who need that extra touch. And Father, we just give you glory and honor, and we give you honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.